because involvement in the world has so much sheker and falsity, this would destroy Yaakov. Yaakov is an Ish-Emes. Let's keep Yaakov away from the politics. Let's keep Yaakov away from the United Nations. Let's keep Yaakov away from political deal-making. Keep Yaakov in a pure environment. And let Esav deal with the dirty details of this world, because that's what Esav likes to do anyway. And this way there'll be a tikkun. So this is a very good cheshbon. But what's going on? Rivka understands that it's too little, too late. That if Esav gets the brachos of Eretz Yisrael, Esav is not going to use it to help Yaakov. Esav is not going to use it to build up Yaakov. Esav is going to use it to destroy Yaakov. Rivka also understands that Yaakov is capable of dealing with sheker. And in fact, Rav Hirsch explains, building on a thought similar to Malbim, that's why Yaakov has to undergo deception. Because he wants to tell his father, I will not be destroyed by the sheker in the world, because I'm capable of sheker. And if I'm capable of sheker, I'm capable of mirma, I'm capable of deception, I will be able to understand it when others do it to me. So, in a way, Rav Hirsch points out, it's not really clear that Yaakov is totally fooling Yitzchak. Yaakov is not lying very well. First of all, if he's trying to be Esav, why does he use the name of Hashem? Hakol Kol Yaakov. Right? So Rav Hirsch suggests that Yaakov is actually hinting to Yitzchak. Yeah, it's me, Yaakov, impersonating Esav. I know how to lie. I know how to cheat. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But the fact that I know how to do it means I'm not going to be victimized and tricked by others. And therefore, don't be afraid to give me the brachos of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the reason why Yaakov got the bracha is because Yitzchak acknowledged that this must have been the right thing. Had Yitzchak not acknowledged that Rivka was correct, Achar Hamaisa, then indeed the brachos would never have been Yaakov's brachos. Right, so this is how the Malbim and Rav Hirsch understand the whole Maisa. And in a way, it's a tragic story for Esav. It is a tragic story for Esav. Because Esav could have had a chelek in the creation of Am Yisrael. Esav could have been the Zevulun to the Yisachar. But at that point, Esav was not able to fulfill that role. And as a result, Esav became the great enemy of Am Yisrael. But there's another point to keep in mind that the Medrash makes, which is a very powerful point. So Yitzchak wanted Esav to get the brachos. But instead, Yaakov gets the brachos of Eilam Hazeh. And the brachos of Eilam Hazeh encompass Eretz Yisrael, they encompass Yavducha Amim, nations will serve you. But you know what the Medrash says? The Medrash makes the point that in reality, Yaakov Avinu himself never really enjoyed those brachos. Because right after this, he runs away to Laban's house, and he's there for 14 years in the Shem of Shem Yeager, and then 20 years in Laban's house, and then 2 years traveling. So for 22 years, he's out of Eretz Yisrael. And then when he gets back to Eretz Yisrael, there's Mechiras Yosef. And again, he's separated from his son for 22 years. And the Medrash says, it's Mida Keneged Mida. He took the brachos with deception. Therefore, he is hurt by Sheker. And the brothers tell him, Yosef was killed by a wild animal. And then when he finally goes to Mitzrayim for the last 17 years, he's in Mitzrayim. So what was Yaakov's life after he got these brachos? Exile, suffering, losing his son, and then spending 17 years in Mitzrayim. The Medrash also says the following. When Esav discovers that Yaakov took the brachos, the Pasuk says, by Yitzhak Zaka Gedola Umara. He cried a loud and bitter cry. The Gemara in Megillah says this exact phrase appears one other place. Where does it appear?
Yeah.
Where
if I find out?
Right, right, about Haman. And the Medrash says, or the Gemara says rather, that because Yaakov caused Esau a Zaaka Gedola Umara, a descendant of Esau, that's Haman, from Amalek, which is the grandson of Esau, caused the descendants of Yaakov Zaaka Gedola Umara. Our Chaim Shmulevitz has a Sita, a Shmuz, explaining this, because there's no Chaira. Yaakov is being punished. Why is Yaakov being punished? I mean, this was the Ratzon Hashem. This was what Hashem wanted. This is the way it had to be. Why is Yaakov being punished? Because he took the brachas from Esav. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says the following machshava, which is very, very potent and powerful. He says, let's imagine, I think this example is my example, but it illustrates his voice. Let's say a baby, God forbid, fell into a fire. And you jump into the fire to save the baby. Did you do a good thing? Yes. Did you do a mitzvah? Yes. Did you do a wonderful, wonderful chesed? Of course you did. But is that going to protect you from being burned? Usually not. Once in a while there's an ace day left. But even if what you did is the right thing, it is a physical law of nature that when you fall into a fire, you get burned. There's no terrorist to say, but I did a good thing. The physical law of nature is, fire is going to burn you. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, the same way there are physical laws of nature, in which, you know, goodness or not nogeya, in other words, even if you're totally justified, there's going to be a negative consequence. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, there are spiritual laws of nature as well. And one of the spiritual laws of nature is, listen to this, when you cause pain to another person, even if it was the right thing to do, even if it was a mitzvah, even if you had to do it, but you cause suffering to another person, it will come back and bite you, so to speak. So yes, Yaakov, whatever the cheshbon is, Yaakov did the right thing. Yaakov was supposed to do it, but Lamaisa,